Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
All right. It's Bible study time. So I pray God speaks to you. Amen. We are going to jump back a few verses. So 1 John 27 will make nothing but sense to us, even more. 1 John 2:21. I'm going to read this. 1 John 2:21. Listen to this. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Let's stay right there back in the back. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. So John is talking to believers. If John was up here right now, he would be like, if you're not a believer, I'm not talking to you yet. He's talking to people that knew the truth. The truth about what? I put a few things here. The truth about the resurrection, number one. These believers, they knew the truth about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I put right here, they knew the truth that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and absolutely no one comes to the Father but through Jesus. They knew the truth. Amen? They knew the truth of God's grace, and His grace is sufficient. They knew the truth. They knew the truth of God's love, how it was unconditional, that His love will never, we've talked about that many times up here, that this love is a love that will never fail. They knew the truth. They knew the truth of the Holy Spirit, and it was a gift from God. They knew the truth. They knew the truth that Jesus is our advocate. They knew the truth that God was still a miracle-working God today. They knew the truth that God can still set people free. They knew the truth that God can still break the bondages and the chains of people's life. They knew the truth that God can set people free from addiction. So I'm telling you, do you know the truth? These were men and women of God that they were talking to. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And let me tell you, when you know the truth, when you know that He is Jehovah Jireh, He will provide. I tell you that right now. When you know the truth, and these men, they knew the truth. So that means that tells us He was talking to what? To believers. He wasn't evangelizing unbelievers. He wasn't trying to encourage. He was saying, hey, look, hold up now. You guys know the truth. It's in you. You guys have seen the miracles and the signs and the wonders take place. Then we go on to 1 John 2:26. These things I have written to you concerning those of you trying, listen to this, those who are trying to deceive you. We're going to stay on that verse for a minute. So now we know He's talking to believers, and He's saying, hey, you guys know the truth. You know the truth about the resurrection. You know the truth about all the miracles and signs and wonders. But, He said, He stops right there and He goes, but those who are trying to deceive you, He told them straight out, people are going to try to deceive you. And we know the biggest deceiver in the Bible was Satan. What happened when Jesus was in that wilderness praying and fasting? What did Satan do? He tried to deceive the Son of God. By riches and by the worldly stuff. And the only way Jesus was able to rebuke and deceive him was by the word of God. Amen? Listen to this. I put this here right here. Listen. These things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. Listen to what deceive means. To cause someone to believe something that is not true. Let me read that again. To cause someone to believe something that is not true. True. That's how you get deceived. We've all experienced that 2 or 3 years ago where we're getting deceived. We were getting deceived by the things of the world, telling us believers what we couldn't do. But thank God for the scripture telling us what we could do. And we opened up the doors and we worship God. I put right here, to lead someone astray from the truth is being deceived. I'll put a few things up here. Listen to this. It is often done for, listen to what it is. When you're getting deceived, it is often done for a personal gain or an advantage. Look at the first example verse I want to put up in Genesis 3:13. Listen to this. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, listen what she said. The serpent what? Deceived me and I ate. Keep that verse up there. This right in the beginning of the Bible, Satan was at work. And she said it. She knew he deceived me. She deceived her from what? From the truth of what God was telling her. She got deceived and she ate of the fruit, the Bible says, and the fall of man came. Let's look at another verse. Deuteronomy 11:16. I like this verse. Beware that your hearts are not what? Deceived. And that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Beware that your hearts, it's like a beware, like you gotta be cautious. John is telling those men and women of God, you gotta beware. You guys know the truth. But someone, Satan and the people that he uses are gonna come and deceive, they're gonna try to deceive you. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Look at this. Do not be what? Deceived by what? Bad company corrupts good morals. Isn't that awesome? He said, the word of God is actually saying you're being deceived. If all you hang around is nothing but negative and people that don't believe and don't have the truth in them, guess what? The Bible says, guess what? You're being deceived. Some of you might be texting some friends of yours saying, hold up now. That ain't the truth that you're telling me. I need to serve God. That doesn't line up with the word of God. I'm being deceived. Let me read that one more time. Do not be deceived. Bad company. Your surroundings. What's it do? Corrupts good morals. It corrupts good morals. So remember, he's telling these men and women, do not be deceived. Do not allow bad company. Do not allow false doctrine. Do not allow just reading any old book about God, because this is the book you need to be reading. And trust me, I remember when I first got saved, I was deceived like every week because I didn't read the Bible. I read every book about the Bible. I read listened to every single preacher that came on the radio station, especially those AM radio stations. I was really deceived. And I'm being honest with you. It's that simple. I'm telling you guys right now, when you don't read this Bible, ask yourself a question. When's the last time some old salty tears were just on this Bible and God was moving supernaturally in your life and bondages were being broken and God was speaking to you and you say, all that other stuff's a lie, but this is the word of God. This is what I believe in. Amen. That's when you know the truth. And you'll be surprised how hard it is to be deceived, because that's why he reminded them. You guys know the truth. You guys are of the truth. Let's look at another verse here. Galatians 6:7. I like this. Do not be what? Again, deceived. God is not mocked for whatever a man sows. This is, he will also reap. He's making it so clear, that word deceived. Don't be deceived where you're sowing all your seed in, because you're going to reap what you sow. Well, it's the devil. No, it's what you're putting in that ain't got nothing to do with God is why you're getting those results. That's what that's saying. You reap what you sow. I hear it all the time. The devil's attacking. I go, well, tell me some of your decisions you make. Well, I don't know if the devil's attacking. I think it's some of your unwise decisions that you're making that is not coming from biblical scripture that is helping you to stay on that path of truth. I just love this. This one's simple. James 1:16. Look how simple this is. Do not what? Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And let me just tell you, I could just have a sermon on being deceived. It's all through the whole Bible, from the beginning of Genesis to the book of Revelation. They're consistently warning us about false doctrine, about false teachers, about people that it just sounds good. We can get up here and put the Bible in, sound good, but you know what? We ain't here to sound good. We're here to teach you not to be deceived, the word of God. So we look one more time. We'll look at 1 John 2:26. Let's put that back, please. As for you, 1 John 2:26, these things I have written to you concerning, he said it, concerning those who are trying to deceive you. See how he's warning them? First he reminded them they know the truth. So he's hoping, his hope, John's hope was that they don't get deceived, that they don't turn from the word of God, that they don't start making decisions that are unwisely and ungodly and start bearing fruit in that area. So John's just reminding believers. So right now John's talking to all of us. He's saying, be careful, body of Christ, when you walk out of these doors. Don't be deceived. Be cautious who's speaking into your life. Be cautious of what you're listening to. Be cautious of what you're reading. Be cautious who's preaching to you. I'm being honest with you. Be cautious, because that's why it's so important to read the Bible. And I think that's why God inspired Pastor Ron for us to do verse by verse, because now we know we're reading it together. Amen? So we've learned right there, knowing the truth and being deceived. Let's go to this next Bible verse, 1 John 2. 27. We're going to look at this here for a minute. We'll be in here for a minute. You know, I'm going to read something and it's very controversial and we'll get to that. Listen to it, but we're going to start off as this. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. We're going to stop right there. You're going to see this word abide all through the Bible. He's divine, you abide. I mean, that's another one. That's like being deceived. Abide is through the whole scripture. First John was nothing. He's talking about abiding. So I want to explain to you a little bit about what is this? What is he talking about, Pastor? What does he mean for me to abide? He says, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. Listen to this. I'm going to share a few definitions what the word abide is talking about. It means to remain or stay. He don't give us a gift and take it away. If I'm talking to a born-again believer, guess what? You got a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit that is ready to go to work within you. And so it means to remain or stay. Listen what else it means. To accept and be guided by something and obey, to abide. It's to endure. Abide is a defining of to endure. You're abiding in something. You believe in something. To stand strong, abide. To bear. I like this one. Abide means to suffer. To suffer. And let me tell you, I learned. I learned my own body and mind that I can push myself to a place in suffering that I never knew I can push myself. Oh, exactly, with the help of God. So, I hope that speaks to somebody. Abiding means suffer. Sometimes, I'm sorry to break it down to you, sometimes you got to suffer. Some of you are in the best place of your life right now, suffering through Christ. He knows where you're at right now. He knows what your walk with him is right now. But sometimes, it's not a bad thing to say, you know what, God, I'm going to endure with you. I'm going to abide. I'm going to bear with you. I'm going to abide. I'm going to stand firm with you. God, I'm going to abide. I like this one. Tolerate. Tolerate. And, I don't want to tolerate. Come on, Pastor. You're killing me here. You mean I have to stand and suffer and tolerate? Sometimes you see the hand of God moving your life. Yes, you do. You have to tolerate. You have to tolerate when the finances ain't good. You need to abide and tolerate when everything, all hell's breaking loose in your home. You have to tolerate sometimes. You have to endure. You have to abide. And he's telling them, let's go back to that Bible verse, please. As for you and the anointing which you receive from him abides. It abides in you. Listen to this. Submit. Oh, man, don't talk about that word, Pastor. I'll submit. You got to abide is submitting to something. Believing in something. Understanding that the Holy Spirit is within them. And listen to this. I'll put this right here. Abide. When we understand our need for Jesus, we learn to abide. When we understand we need him, but at the same time, he wants us to need him. I put this right here. When we abide in prayer, when we abide in our Bible reading, when we abide in his strength and not ours. So he goes on to say this, as for you, The anointing which you've received from him abides. So it abides. That word abide means so much. It abides in us. He reminds us about that Holy Spirit that's in us. And he goes, you have no need. Okay, here's the controversy. That's why I had to go to verse 21 and 26. He goes, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. That doesn't mean get up and leave now. Don't go get your kids right now. Not yet. Not yet. I'm going to explain that. First, I'm going to explain one more thing here. The anointing. The anointing is referring to the Holy Spirit that's in you right now. So he's pretty much saying, as for you, the Holy Spirit, the anointing which you receive from him, he abides in every single one of us. Like I said earlier, we all are serving the same God in the same path, in the same direction. So when you, that day, however it happened, when you say I do to Jesus, when you made a commitment to him, guess what came upon you? The anointing of the Holy Spirit is in your body right now. Right now. It is? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Is that why I feel convicted? Probably. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is living and the Holy Spirit is dwelling on you. So I'm going to stay right there for a minute. The anointing refers to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what? It guides us in our decision making. You can call on the Holy Spirit. I don't know if some of you know that. In your decision making. The Holy Spirit, the anointing, guess what? The Holy Spirit, he comforts us in a time of need. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. The anointing of the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts. You just thought you were smart. No, that's God working through you. David's smart. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Doesn't he say that when you're weak, I'll make you strong? Amen. I love this one. The Holy Spirit intercedes through us, for us. So now we got to look at this different. Okay, as for you, the Holy Spirit, the anointing which you receive from him, it abides in you. He said, it's in you. It lives in you. So now you got to receive that Holy Spirit. You got to tolerate. You got to submit. You got to endure. You got to stand. You got to bear. You got to say, okay, the Holy Spirit is in me. It's game time. It's ready to work for the Lord. Amen? And so then he goes on to say this now. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. Let me clear that Bible verse up with another one. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, please. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the what? Service to the building up of the body of Christ. So he's actually saying the opposite. He's not saying you don't need nobody to teach you the word of God or encourage you or go to Bible studies. No, you got to remember, he was talking about them being deceived from false doctrines. He's pretty much telling them, let's go back to that verse, please. He's pretty much telling them this, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as the Holy Spirit has taught you about all things. He's pretty much reminding them, you know the truth, because he said that, right? He goes, so no one else can teach you and deceive you. You shouldn't be able to be deceived. You know the truth. Because let me tell you, I didn't notice until I really started looking this verse up in different commentaries. It was one of the most controversial Bible verses at one time where people would say, oh, I don't need a pastor. I don't need to be discipled. I don't need somebody to teach me about the word of God. Well, I don't really need to go to church. Well, no, the Bible says, yes, you do need to do not forsake the fellowship of the brethren like what we're doing today. So what that's teaching, let me reread this. As for you, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, which you received from him, abides in you, all of us. If you're born again, it abides in you. Right now, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. Not to minister to you. Not to equip you. We've seen that. Not to build you up. Not to send you out. To teach you anything that is not the truth. Because guess why? The Holy Spirit in 1 John 2:21, he tells you. He already knew. They knew the truth. And that's why he said, you don't be deceived because you know the truth. And he goes on to say this. But as his anointing teaches you about the things and is true and is not a lie, And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So I hope that verse is making it clear. First, we see in verse 226 about being deceived. He pushes that hard. And remember, he's talking to believers. Then he goes to this next verse and really encourages the believer of what the Spirit of the Holy Spirit and its anointing can do through us. It will teach us the truth. It will give us the wisdom. It will help us. It will direct us. And it will be a part of our life until we are with Jesus. So let me encourage somebody today. You might be in a place, call on the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Because you know why? The Holy Spirit knows the truth. If you're in a place of confusion, you call on the Spirit of truth, the Bible says, that anointing. The Bible says the anointing that destroys the yokes, that Holy Spirit that dwells inside of all of us. 1 John 2:28. Let's look at this verse. Now, little children. Remember, he was an elder. He ain't calling you little kids. He was referring to us as men and women of God growing into faith. Abide in him. There's that abide word. That word never ends in the Bible. Abide. He's consistently reminding us to abide in him so that when he appears, we may have the what? Confidence. I'm going to stay right there on that word for a second so that we will have the confidence. I'm going to read this right here. The feeling of belief that one can rely on someone or something. Confidence, feeling or belief that someone can rely on someone or something. And there's more to this. Listen to this. With a firm trust, a firm faith, and a firm belief. Confidence. Because we can leave here with no confidence in God. I'm telling you, I see it all the time. Let me share something with you. You'll never hear me come up here and say the devil's attacking, because I always step back and say, is it just the dumb decisions I'm making? I really do. But let me tell you what happened to me in a day and a half. This really happened. And I had to test my confidence in the Word of God. I go home to wash some clothes, and my washer is leaking completely at the bottom. And it's crazy that I didn't have time to fix it. I just told my daughter to put some towels under there. Then they call me and say, Dad, the dryer don't work now. I go, hold on. No, so the washer don't work and the dryer don't work. You're not being honest with me. Dryer don't work. Okay. Get in my car to start it, the car battery don't work. I'm like, okay. Next morning, that was yesterday. I wake up and I had to make sure some money was transferred. I have $7.50 in my bank account, my checking and my savings completely wiped out, gone, thousands, gone. I said, okay, Jesus, Lord, what just happened, right? And I seen where this transaction went and I go, well, $7, $2.50 each for my wife. We can have some money, right? $2.50. I'm serious. And I'm not lying. I don't want to say I was tested, but I said, do I really have confidence in God's word when he says, don't worry? I said that to him. I said, hold up. Let me go hide real quick by myself. Al, I know your heart's beating fast. I know all these little things that just happened. Do you really have confidence when he says, don't worry about nothing? I'm being honest with you. I don't know if it was a test. I don't know if it was the devil, but it happened. Certain things just happen, right? It happens. And I sit there and I was like, okay, God, let me call the bank. The money be there, I think, tomorrow or something. I don't know. But at the same time, I had to see, is my confidence really in God? Or am I going to freak out and lose it and stress out and worry and then make poor decisions while I'm stressing out and worrying and have an attitude that's bad that everybody is around me, don't see no Christ in me? Oh, no. I said, no. God says, don't worry. God, let me have more faith than I ever had in you. To have the confidence in you, God, I ain't going to worry. I ain't no Superman in my faith, but I believe in and trust in you, God. Amen. And that's that confidence. Sometimes we just got to leave here. God, give me the confidence that you can heal me. God, give me the confidence that you can set me free. God, give me the confidence to pray and seek you. God, next time I walk in here, God, I won't be the only one not raising my hands. Give me the confidence to praise you, God. Give me the confidence to tell somebody about Jesus. Give me the confidence to lay my hands on somebody and say, God can heal you. Give God some praise in this place. You got to have the confidence in God. When we can leave here as a body of Christ, let's go back to that verse. When we can leave here, he says we may have confidence and not shrink away, not go back, okay, poor me. No, say, oh no, devil. I ain't shrinking back. Yes, I might have cancer. Yes, I might be broke and have no money, but you know what? Jehovah Jireh is my provider. Amen. I got confidence in you. I got confidence in these Bible verses. I got confidence in these red words from Jesus, Lord. And I'm telling you, you will see God. You will get to that mountaintop. God will move mountains for you. And regardless what you're going through, he will do it. Give God some praise in this place. I'm telling you, he will. I know. That I do know. Confidence. Having a firm belief. He says, we may have confidence. Not shrink away from him in shame and in his coming. Not be, well, I kind of believe. I do believe. He's telling, I love it. Now, you little children, abide in him. So that when he appears, oh, man, he's going to appear one day. We may have confidence and not shrink away from him and the shame at his coming. Amen. We're getting close. We're going to look at verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Let me make that, I don't know how much more clear he can make. Let me read that again. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices, who, hold up, let me stop right there. He didn't just say who's righteous. He says who practices doing right. It's a consistently getting up and saying, God, today's just about, but I'm going to discipline myself in you, Lord. I'm gonna practice reading my Bible. I'm going to practice. It's just something that you got to consistently do. I heard this one guy, he says, your prayer life should be like a hacking cough. You're always praying and seeking God for something. God wants to do something great in your life. It's going to take us. It's going to take the body of Christ. I can tell you right now, 100%, man, that mountaintop took a team. I would have never done that by myself. I needed a team of people that believed, the people that had confidence. We'll be closing here shortly. The people that had confidence, that believed, that trusted, that had it in our mind. The worst that can happen is we go straight to heaven. Amen. I'm telling you here right now, we're here very short, very temporary. We're here. I've said this before. I'll keep saying it. I'm blessed. You know why? Because I get to drive by a cemetery every day that reminds me I'll be there one day. Yeah. That don't waste your life on nothing. To be the light, to be the example, to have the confidence, to learn to abide. To understand God's love, to understand God's grace and his Holy Spirit, and understand that the God that lives in us wants to lead us, wants to help us, wants us to be the example in the hands and feet of Jesus. Give God some praise, and everybody on your feet. Amen. Let's get that music back there. I'm going to pray for you. Because in a group like this, I know some of you are really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it happens. It really does happen. But you got to ask yourself, what are you going to do? What different direction with God are you going to make? You know, I'll be honest with you. I probably wouldn't climb that mountain if it didn't scare me half to death. I like to put myself in those. I'm not telling you to do something. But sometimes things, you think Peter really was just like so much confidence walking on water. No, he was scared, but he had confidence in God. Some of you haven't even got your toe in there. Get your foot wet a little bit. It's okay. I'm telling you, when he was sinking and he crawled on Jesus, what happened? The storm went away. We got to be careful of who we put our confidence in. I'm not saying don't trust and have good people around you. We need that. Oh, do we need that? Iron sharpens iron. Thank you, Jesus, for people, Lord. Amen. But some of you today, you just need to come up to this altar and say, you know what, Lord, I got confidence in you. If any of you walked in, maybe you've got invited and you don't know Jesus, just raise your hand right where you're at and say, Pastor, I'm ready to get saved today. I want that Jesus that you're talking. You raise your hand right there. We got a packet for you. We're going to pray for you. Got a gentleman right there. And let me encourage you guys. You can clap a little louder, because let me tell you why. Because the Bible said if one person comes to repentance, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So let's rejoice for this young man. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed, let's pray. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I know your anointing and your Holy Spirit is upon everybody that has given their life fully to you today, Lord. But let us, God, I pray for all of us. I pray for myself, Lord. Let myself and everyone in here leave with confidence in you like never before. Confidence in you that you can heal our family. Confidence in you that our family can get saved. Confidence in you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh and our provider. Confidence in you, God, that you can break the bondages and darkness of anything that we come upon, Lord. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, you touch everybody in here, Lord. Those that has raised their hand for salvation, God, we thank you for them. We rejoice with them, Lord. So I pray as we depart Valley Bible, God, that we are equipped and we're ready to serve you and be the light of your world. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory. Give God the biggest shout. Amen. Love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.